Why don't you pick a scripture and stand on it? You know, and it bothers me, and still, you know, I still have people do it, but, you know, even my wife, she's overcoming it a little better, but she always say, well, she has fear of heights. You know, a lot of times you don't know if you have fear of heights because you never go to a high place to find out if you're afraid of heights. And then people say, well, you know what? You might be afraid of going to heaven because that's a kind of a high place, you know. You know, the Bible says we'd be high and lifted up, you know, so to be afraid of heights, I mean, you're in trouble. I'm not afraid of anything. Now, there are some things that I don't really like. I mean, like, you know, I don't want to hang around snakes a whole lot, you know, especially poisonous ones. You know, that's, I don't try to put myself in a position to hang around them, but, you know, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, I'm not afraid, I mean, you know, I don't go get in the lion's cage at the zoo or something like that either. I mean, you know, not afraid of things, but you also have to use common sense. Now, many people are still trying to find out his motivation. I actually found that in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, the devil motivates people to do things that are tragic. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What does that mean? That you might enjoy life, that you might, you know, go, you know, enjoy, be outdoors. You know, you might, you know, go to a concert, go to a ball game. You know, that's enjoying life. You know, because, you know, I thought about it. Well, I thought about, well, what would I do if I was afraid? Well, I wouldn't enjoy life. I want to enjoy life. You know, and actually a couple of years ago, this kind of came up. Some of you might know at our Tulsa campus on July 4th, we always have Rockets Over Rainbow. We have a big Christian concert and fireworks. And we have about 50,000 people on campus. But, you know, they also have warned us, you know, being that it's a Christian, you know, event. It's also a subject for, you know, terrorism could happen, you know, but it could happen anywhere as well. Now, the Broken Arrow Police, I mean, they have, you know, mobile stations, and there's like three or four, they're up in the air or whatever and looking out, but, you know, what can they do besides see somebody? I mean, you know, it's, but you just have to have faith. But one thing we have to also do is be led. And in fact, you know, it was interesting this week. I had somebody I was having a conversation with, and we're talking about the shooting thing. And I don't know, you may or may not know, my wife is from Las Vegas, and I have a lot of family members that live in the Las Vegas area. A lot of family members that actually like country music, and there was concern when it first happened if there some of them could have been at that concert. A couple of them said they thought about going, but they didn't go. You know, and so it kind of hits more, you know, more home. But anyway, I was talking to somebody, and just, you know, be honest with, you know, this person, I'm not calling them a bad person, but, you know, they're not really in church. They're not really where, you know, I believe they should be with God. But you know what they told me? They said, Craig, you know what? We live in a day and age that you got to be led. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because someone who wasn't where I thought they should be, they have more sense than a lot of Christians that are probably where they are supposed to be. You know, because most of them, they're all being afraid. This person's not being afraid. They're saying we should be led. You know, we should, you know, in fact, you know, they're telling me, because, you know, they, obviously they know that I travel quite a bit and I go overseas, and they're saying, man, you need to be led whenever you go anywhere. I'm almost laughing. I really am. I'm, you know, on the inside, I am laughing at this, you know, because I'm like, really? You're telling me to be led? You know, and that's how I always am. I always felt if, you know, every time I get on an airplane, if I have a weird feeling about getting on the airplane, I won't get on the airplane. I've decided even if I miss a service, it doesn't matter. You know, if I have a weird feeling about anything, I'm not gonna override any kind of weird feeling, even if my weird feeling was wrong. You know, just because I got to be led, I got to have the you know, peace of God on the inside of me, and everything I do, I try to have peace. You know, of course, you know, we have word for that as well. Over in Romans chapter 8, Romans the 8th chapter, the 14th verse. Says this, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, or it could be the daughters of God. So you know what? If we are children of God, then God leads us. He leads us and he guides us. And one thing that he does when he's leading and guiding is trying to lead you away from danger. You know, he'll lead you, you know, away from something. Or, you know, how does he do that? Well, something on the inside will say, you need to move, or you shouldn't get on this airplane, or you shouldn't be here, or, you know, but there's so many times that I've done it and we've all done it. We've had something on the inside that we shouldn't have done something. We do it anyway. And sometimes it's, you know, maybe it doesn't end up that big a deal, but, we live in a day and age where it's a big deal. And one of the first experiences in my life that I thought was a big deal, was Oklahoma City bombing. I never figured that something, you know, could happen around here. I mean, you know, that goes on record as one of the biggest terror attacks we've had on U.S. soil. You know, and I mean, right here in Oklahoma, of all places. And, you know, but you never thought that could happen. You know, so never think that, you know, well, I'm living in this city and it can't happen here, or I'm living there. It doesn't matter where you live. You know what? The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy all over the world. You know, and he's out to destroy people, because that's what he does. And that's, you know, it's so interesting to me how, you know, that scripture, and I know I've quoted a lot, but Jesus told us this 2,000 years ago, the devil's out to get you. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So, you know, even though the devil's out to get you, don't be afraid. Basically, as he's saying, don't be afraid, enjoy life. And you can enjoy life because I'm with you. I'm helping you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm showing you the way. But you know what? Just because he's leading us and guiding us doesn't mean he never makes us do anything. He's a gentleman. I mean, he'll lead us and guide us, but he won't make us. And that's where our will comes in. And you know, that's why we have to really be led. You know, I think it's more important than ever for us not only to do that for ourselves, but also to encourage other people to be cautious and be led. You know, one of the biggest things that most of us do every day, that's probably the most dangerous thing we do every day, is we get in an automobile and drive. More people die of car wrecks than any other thing. And so, you know, sometimes we don't think about being led, but I know my grandfather tells a story one time where he was over some fellow ministers' house, and they were, I think they had dinner or whatever, and they were fellowshipping. And so it came, you know, it was nighttime, and so it came time to go, and they were walking out the door, and they were, you know how when you leave someone's house, you know how they're walking out, you're talking, they're all standing on the porch talking. And all of a sudden, I don't know what he would have done for a lot of people, but, you know, but these people, my grandfather stopped, and he says, we can't go yet. Everyone looks at him, and, you know, what do you mean you can't go yet? He says, I don't know. The Lord just impressed me not to leave yet. And so, of course, there's another pastor, so he kind of understood, following. So he said, well, let's just go back inside. Let's not stand on the porch. Let's go back inside. And my grandfather said he was there 15 or 20 more minutes, and all of a sudden, on the inside, you know, the Lord told him it's okay to go. Now, that sounds really weird. A lot of times we would probably, you know, it's a good chance we might even override that. Well, what do you mean I can't go yet or don't go? Anyway, but on the way home, they went by an accident where two cars, they were on a two-lane road. It was dark. This was way back in, I think, the 50s or whatever. Headlights weren't as good as they are now today. And they hit head-on, killed both people, I mean, everyone in both cars. And there was a big fireball that erupted and everything else. And, you know, it would have been about the time that they were driving through if they would have left, you know, 15, 20 minutes earlier. So, man, you know, driving in a car is dangerous. You know, and a lot of us don't think about that. And, you know, and it is more safe with all the safety functions. And, I mean, you know, now we wear seat belts. I mean, you know, a lot of you guys are older, so you understand like I understand. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I would stand up in the back seat. You know, we would hang out in the back of someone's pickup. I mean, I don't mean the back seat. I'm talking about in the pickup bed. Anyone ever do that? You know, just, you know, riding in the back of a pickup bed. I mean, a seatbelt was no one thought about wearing seatbelts. Everyone was like, wondering even why they had put seatbelts in cars. I mean, you know, I was standing up in the back. In fact, one of the accidents we had when I was like 18 months old is I was standing up in the back seat of my parents' car, and we got hit from behind by a drunk driver, and we did three flips and had a telephone pole. And so I end up in the floorboard, and my mom had a hold of my leg somehow. I mean, we don't know how, you know, how people end up or whatever. And my parents didn't have any injury except for some bruises. And I had a bunch of stitches up here. That's why if somebody's seen some scars I still have. I had stitches on top of my head. I mean, that was, you know, not top of my head, my forehead. And they said, the interesting part about it, my parents said, I never cried the whole time, even though my head was bleeding or whatever, until they actually put a little cloth thing over my eyes in order to do the thing that started. I started crying at that point in time, so you know, whatever. They did tell me, I guess, that if I was 21 and still had the scars there, I could sue the guy. I figured, well, he's probably dead by now anyway. So I don't know. So it's, but I mean, you know, I was standing up in the back seat. I mean, you know, think about that. Not even on a seatbelt. And you used to see pictures of the car. You know, I was, you know, at that time, I was like 18 months old. I was too young to remember. But my parents had saved pictures of the car. And after I saw the car, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, it was demolished. Imagine doing 3 flips and also hitting a telephone pole. I mean, that's a, you know, I've done some flips in a race car, but I've been in there pretty tight. I mean, I'm standing up in the back seat. You know, praise God for his protection. But you know, I mean, we have to think about, you know, being led. Making sure we're at, you know, at the right place at the right time, or not at the wrong place at the wrong time. And like I said, you know, sometimes, I mean, there's, you know, maybe for some reason you feel like you shouldn't go, or maybe you feel like you should drive a different way. I mean, you know, I mean, like when you drive home from between work and home, I mean, there's 3 or 4 different ways you can go. Actually, there's probably more than that if you want to zigzag between all these, you know, side streets or whatever. You know, but I mean, there sometimes I drive a different way home. I don't know why. I just do. I mean, you know, I get to the same place. You know, you never know. But you know what? We got to be led. You know, another scripture in the Old Testament, you know, kind of about that is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know, and it says to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Now, that's one thing we need to do. We got to follow God. You know, trust God. See, you know, that's part of being led. You know what? Trust God to lead us and to guide us. You know, trust him if we trust God. But here's the big thing. It says, and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Well, the same way, you know, that kind of back to my grandfather, whenever, you know, the Lord kind of just said, don't leave now. You know, your own mind, like, well, why can't I leave now? You know, why shouldn't I leave? There's nothing stopping me. I kind of need to get home. You know what? But that was, lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes you don't understand why we do things, you know, and you know, sometimes he'll direct our path, not necessarily a direction as far as a, you know, a path, but sometimes, you know, direction in life or whatever. But you know, I believe also that the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. I mean, you know, he'll lead us, he'll guide us. I mean, there's so many scriptures about walking, about paths and whatever. So, you know, and I know that God's out to protect us. You know, and I know that he loves us, and I know that he'll warn us, and I know he'll, you know, he'll be there for us, but we have to listen. We have to, you know, be smart. You know, but then again, too, we have to do the things in the natural, because, you know, I've known some people that have died in plane crashes, and come to find out, these were private planes, they weren't properly maintained. I mean, they were, you know, needing some maintenance on one particular minister I know, is the wing fell off and there was a crack or something that they needed to fix, and they didn't do it because they felt, well, you know, that God's going to bless us going and coming and whatever. You know, we also can't be stupid. You know, sometimes people override their brain. God gives us the brain to actually think. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, if you know your wheel's wobbling and you only have one, you know, one lug nut, most people actually aren't going to drive their car. I know a few people are probably dumb enough to probably drive their car, especially on the highway. I mean, you might try to limp it, you know, somewhere down the street, but you're not going to, you know, get on the Kilpatrick out here, you know, or drive to Tulsa, you know, doing 80 miles an hour or whatever. I mean, you know, I mean, it's stupidity, but people do stuff like that. I mean, they do things without thinking, or they, God's going to bless me anyhow. You know, you got to be smart. You know, there are things about using our own natural brain. Now, there are some times that things don't make natural sense. You know, I get that as well. But a lot of times, I think that God expects us to use our natural brain. So a lot of times when you, when you analyze things naturally, you understand, well, why would you do that? You know, that's one thing, obviously. If you have your own airplane, many people don't realize this, but the FAA doesn't come and check and make sure if you maintain your airplane or not, because they only actually figure this out after you've crashed your plane. So, it's not like, but it's kind of the same way. The government doesn't come and make sure you make sure that your car is properly maintained. They don't make sure your wheel's not going to fall off or your tires aren't bald or that kind of stuff. I mean, they don't care, but you might. You might care, because I tell you what, it's no fun to for your tire to go, pop a tire doing 50 or 60 miles an hour down the street. Down a highway or whatever, or even the tire just go flat, because that happened to me one time. The tire went flat and went down. I was on the highway, and it was like a slow leak, so it wasn't as bad. Just kind of started yanking off my mic to the side, and thank God I was actually on the lane closest to the highway, and to the side over there. And so, but then the hardest thing is actually changing your tire on the side of the road too. That's another fun thing as well, when your cars are zipping by. But anyway, we've got to be led at all times, and the Lord will lead us and He'll guide us. But the one thing I want to actually read, and I want to read from the New King James, the New Living Translation, is the 91st Psalm. This is one of the first chapters in the Bible that my mom, of all people, from the time we were young all the way through, every morning, and I still do it today, that we would always pray, and we would claim the 91st Psalm over each and every one of us, over all our family members. And the 91st Psalm is very powerful, and provides protection for us. And, I claim it all the time. I mean, all the time, I'm always, claim the 91st Psalm over us or my kids. But anyway, it says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday." Now understand, the arrows of the day, they didn't have automatic weapons. I mean, they didn't have guns. I mean, so people bow and arrows. But you know what? We don't be distressed. If something happens like that. It says, "Though a thousand fall at your side, and though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished." So many times I think about this. Think about, what if you're in the middle of a situation like that happened to them. I mean, they got bullets raining down, So, most of the time people, first inclination is scream or whatever. My inclination is to thank God, that He'll protect us, that He'll lead us, that He'll guide us. Because you know what? God knows which way to go. He knows what you should do. A lot of times we don't think about, praying or sometimes you can't even pray. You just say Jesus. At the mention of that name, it's so powerful. Sometimes you just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just the name of Jesus. Because that name brings calming. And the thing about it is, He said He'll protect us. He said He'll lead us, He'll guide us. In like a situation like that, they don't know where things are going. They don't know what to do. But God will lead us, and He'll give us, He'll give us direction if we let Him. Now, a lot of times, that's the last thing we think about, it should be the first thing we think about. We should think about our protector. But you know what? I always think about that. Like I said, every time that I go to any place where we could be a possible target, I always think, thank God that He's protecting me. Every time I get on an airplane, I pray for protection. I pray that everything will work properly. And you know, he's going to bless us going, you know, going and coming. Because you know what? I don't know. When, you know, if I'm on American Airlines, I don't know their records. I don't know who the pilots are. I don't know anything. But I'm just putting my trust in that airlines. You know, but really, I'm putting my trust in God because I know that He'll lead me, He'll guide me. And like I said, you know, unfortunately, there's a story about one of some of our ministers. They were actually headed back to their church. It was a winter time one year, and they were, you know, at that time they flew more of those little prop planes that, there was like 42 people, and so there was a snowstorm, and they were headed back to Detroit, and the pastor actually, there's a pastor and a music minister, and they're headed back, and the pastor actually didn't, he was supposed to be on the airplane, he didn't go, he just didn't feel. For whatever reason, didn't feel it was safe. The music minister said, "Well, I got to get back. My family, you know, needs me to get back. I mean, because if he didn't make this trip, I mean, this flight, they're going to have to stay overnight and there, and so they have to spend the night and stuff. I got to get back. Well, the plane never made it. You know, two people, and they even talked about it before they even, you know, and the pastor just said, I just feel, I don't know why, I just don't feel I should get on this airplane. And he did, and he lived. The other one, you know, perished. You know, here's the deal. I mean, that one was rushing back, but then he never made it back. And so sometimes, you know, we shouldn't let our own thought life, you know, overcome, you know, what's on the inside. And you know what? Even if nothing would happen to the airplane and pastor missed it, you know what? Doesn't matter. He was still safe. He was still safe. That was an extreme example, but I mean, those things happen all the time. It happens all the time. I mean, you know, people that, you know, I know people that were supposed to be in tragic situations and left before it happened. I mean, I'm sure the people, they're probably at that concert, left early. In fact, I know that they were talking about, there was in the news, some people there from the Tulsa area that happened to be in the Tulsa concert, and for some reason they left before the last, the last performer was out there, and they weren't there at the time. Now, I mean, you know, they didn't say in the news that God led them to leave or whatever, but you never know. You never know, you know what goes on. But the thing is that if I'm a child of God, God's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's going to give me direction. He's gonna, you know, and so he'll help me, he'll guide me. Anyway, verse 9 here, Psalm 91, it says, "If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." On a stone, you will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. So, you know, remember, this is right after talking about 1,000 dying on one side and 10,000 on the other side. You know what? So what if people are dying? So, I don't mean to say so what. I mean, it does matter. But, I mean, the fact that other people are dying doesn't mean you have to die, too. Right, the fact that everybody else is getting their homes are getting wiped out by hurricanes or tornadoes or fires doesn't mean yours has to be. They were saying, actually, I heard on the news the other day, they were talking about some real nice neighborhood in somewhere in California by the Napa Valley that said that, I mean, you know, the neighborhood's just ravished. And there's one home said that looks virtually untouched. And so, you know, my first thought of it, I bet you that's a Christian right there. I bet you that person's a Christian. You know, I bet you they know how to claim the 91st Psalm over their house. You know, I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but it's just kind of, they were talking about how ironic it was that all the other homes were destroyed. And in one home, it said, the words of the reporter, it seems virtually untouched. You know, so it's just an amazing thing. You know, but the thing about it is, do we believe God or not? Do we really believe that He has His angels there to protect us? You know, sometimes, you know, as little kids, we think about our angels and things like that. But we grow up and we kind of forget there are angels out there to protect us. We forget that, you know, if God be for us, who cares who's against us? And we forget that we do have people there that are sheltering us, and if we'll just you know, learn to lean on Him, He'll protect us. You know, our first thought always should be, you know, well, God, what should I do? What should I do? You know, but like I said, every morning, and I would encourage each and every one of you guys, every morning, you know, I learned it because my mom just did it. It wasn't really, but you know, I was claiming that I first saw Him over everybody, all my kids, you know, and now like my, you know, I do the same thing. I don't know why, because, you know, but you could just say all your kids, but my dad, you know, always named every one of them. So he goes, so I do the same thing. We name them. I name them all. You know, because, you know, but man, you know, God wants to protect us and our family. And we have scripture. I mean, many times, like I said, you know, people always say, well, what scripture are you standing on for different things? Well, you know what? I can't stand on the scripture for protection, to protect me, to lead me, to guide me, to show me what, you know, the way, to cover me, to help me, you know. And I know one time, you know, I tell the story, you know, sometimes my mom has already told it here before, but I'll tell it again. I was fairly young. I don't know, 9, 10, you know, whatever, 11. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think I was a teenager yet. And so, you know, my mom said that she wanted to go to the grocery store. I didn't want to go because I was playing in the backyard, you know, like a lot of kids do. And she said, well, nobody else is home. So, I'm going to lock the door. And, you know, so, I said, fine. I was there with my friend Michael. We had a trampoline in the backyard. So we were jumping on the trampoline. So you know, we were playing. It was around 5 o'clock in the evening. So it was kind of getting a little dark. You know, twilight. So we went in. We came inside. There was somebody pounding on our front door. Well, you know, there's nobody home. And me and Michael. I mean, you know. Because obviously I'm not stupid enough to go answer the front door. I don't care. And they weren't just ringing the doorbell. You know, our doorbell worked. You know, some people's doorbell doesn't work. Ours worked. They were like pounding on the door. Now, remember some of you back in the 70s, you know, it was real popular to have like, we had like yellow stained windows right next to our door. So you couldn't really see, you know, who was out there. You could just see, you know, there was somebody out there. You know, I had a peephole on the door, but I'm not going to walk to the door because, you know, and when I walk, they can also see me walking to the door. So, you know, I came in the back door and I could see the front door and the person knocking. So I took a left over to the living room and I was scared. So I didn't know what to do because, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why this person is knocking, you know, just beating, not knocking, but beating on my door. So what I did is I was in the living room. We had a big bookshelf, and I know, and on the bookshelf we had a number of Bibles. So I went and grabbed the Bible, and opened to the 91st Psalm. And so I got Michael. I mean, I said, "I'm 9, 10, 11 years old. I don't know." And so I got Michael and said, "We're going to read the 91st Psalm." And so we started reading. And by the time we finished reading, he quit knocking and quit beating, and you know, I still didn't go to the door. I mean. You know, because that's being smart, not being led. I just being smart. You know, just you know, your parents teach you something at a young age or whatever. And I don't know; it might not have been no big deal, but it's just kind of scary when you're out, you're by yourself. You know, nobody else is at home, and you know. But the thing about it is, I'm almost proud of myself that the first thing I did was go to the Word. Was go to the Word. You know, it's I wanted, you know, the other side about it, at that time, I didn't know exactly what 91st Psalm, you know, said. I just knew, you know, I knew a little bit, you know, but I couldn't quote it or anything like that. So I wanted to read it. And I wanted to read it to Michael. So, he knew. And his mom hardly, I don't think, went to church or anything. Just because that's how I was trained. And you know what? God, he will protect us. He wants to protect us, you know, but he also, you know, he can't protect you if you're being foolish either. You can't be foolish and you can't get on what we call it on the enemy's territory all the time either. Anyway, it goes on to say verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call upon me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So you know what? It says that he will reward with a long life. A long life, you know, doesn't mean 40 years or 50 years. That means, you know, 80 years or more or whatever. With long life, will I satisfy you? But you can't have a long life if pestilence wipes you out, if someone wipes you out at a young age or disease or whatever. But you know what? He's protecting us every day. You know, he sends his angels there to protect us. I know many times, I know my grandfather, you know, when he's talking about money, if you read some of his scriptures, his books on money, he'd pray, so now I'm sending my ministering spirits to go out and cause the money to come. And so one day, I'm just thinking about it, well, why couldn't you send your ministering spirits to go out and cause whatever to come or come against whatever? You know, and I thought about that, you know what, I'm sending my ministering spirits to come out to protect me from, from whatever it might be, from a verbal attack, a physical attack, a spiritual attack, or whatever it might be. Sometimes we don't think about this, but the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principality and powers and rulers from on high. You know, our war is really not with people. It's with the devil. I understand people do terrible things, but it's because they're influenced. And see, basically, you can be influenced by God or influenced by the devil. You know, who's your influencer? Because, the people who influence you, will cause you to do certain things. I mean, many people in life, they have certain people that are mentors they read everything by a certain author or a certain person, and they try to be like that person. But you know what? The thing that the most influence should be from the Lord. We should be influenced by God. You know, and like I said, people hadn't found the motive, and I don't know why a person would do some crazy thing, but I know the devil is there to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, and it doesn't matter whether it's a gun, it's a knife, it's an automobile, it's a flood. You know, it's a tornado. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, the devil will try to destroy us with everything. You know, and because that we are living in the last days, you know, he's going to come with everything he's got. I mean, you know, people are going to perish. Different ways by different things. But you know what the thing is that we have to understand that the Lord is always with us. And he does care about us. I said, God is for us. He's not against us. And being for us, he is leading and guiding us. You know, we are the children of God. And just like your own children, I mean, you don't want things to happen to your own children. You would do anything you can to stop, something happen to your own children. But you know what? Remember, the Lord's all seeing and all knowing. You're not. You know, he can protect you. He can show you, he can order our steps. He can't make you do anything. He can't make you run a certain way. He can't make you walk a certain way. He can't make you say a certain thing. You know, there's so many times, like I said, whenever something happens, if we want to give someone a piece of our mind, and our piece of our mind is not the scripture, and the thing about it, I mean, it doesn't matter that we know what we should do. What is doing what we should do is that's the main thing. And, so many times I know in my own life that I've overruled so many times when I know I probably shouldn't have been in a certain situation, a certain circumstances. But we are living the last days. It's more important. It's more important. But if you find yourself in the middle of a battle, of a storm or whatever, remember God's still with you. He's still trying to help you. You know, even if you overrode some situations, some circumstances, I've heard stories about a plane crash and everyone died, and one guy, you don't know how, he ended up sitting on the wing of the airplane, untouched, sitting on the wing. He goes, I don't know how I got on the wing. I don't know, but he jumped off and ran because the thing caught on fire or whatever. Some people actually died from the fire, not actually from the crash itself. I don't know the person. I read about it, a long time ago, heard a story about that. I don't know if it's true or not, but you know what? You know, God can do those kind of things. You know, he can protect you. You know, a lot of times, I think sometimes people just give up. When you get afraid, you can't move. Fear will trap you. Fear will stop you. In fact, that's one of the reasons a lot of people have car accidents, because what happens is someone's coming out and they get afraid and they just stop. Sometimes the best thing they could have done is hit the gas or turn sideways. I mean, you know, last time I had a guy, total my car, but I mean, I turned my car sideways. Actually, in this situation, it wasn't to help me. He basically pulled out, and I'm doing 50 miles an hour down the street, and he pulls out, and I'm fixing to T-bone him right at his door. So, because I didn't want to T-bone him in his door, I turned sideways and hit him on the wheel and spun his car all around and whatever. Still, either way, my car was going to be wiped out anyway, so it didn't really matter. You know, I wasn't trying to protect him. I was trying to, protect me, really. I'm trying to protect him. But also, you know, I was trying to somehow, some way, jerk it enough that I could maybe miss this car totally, but wasn't able to happen. But you know what? I mean, if I hit him on his door, that could have been dangerous. T-bone shot like that. You know, but a lot of times, too, I mean, whenever there's been times, you know, where you know, I don't get a lot of accidents. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, but there have been times when things happen and, you know, I'll yank it left, yank it right, or whatever, just because trying to, you know, avoid, you know, trying to be smart. And I've actually been able to avoid accidents. One time I actually, well, this is when I was young, I actually was able to, all these cars stopped right in front of me, and we didn't have cell phones or anything. I don't know why. I was like, look, someone honked, and I was turned around and looked at them. I looked back, everyone had stopped, and there happened to be a street, right? So I just, at 30 miles an hour, 40 miles, whatever it was, I just struck it sideways and went down the other street, made the corner somehow, some way, or whatever. But, the thing about it, though, but when we get in fear, we'll freeze. Now, I don't know many of you have ever snow skied before or whatever, but I noticed this is happening. I used to snow ski quite a bit, actually. I say quite a bit for someone who lives in Oklahoma. Okay, so I should rephrase that. You know, quite a bit, you know, if I lived in Colorado, quite a bit would be like, you know, a couple times a week or whatever. But I'm talking about a couple times a year we would go skiing. And I found out that every time when I was skiing, you know, every time I'd wreck, the reason I really wrecked because I got in fear. I got going too fast, or I got on a hill that I wasn't really confident on, and so what I started doing is trying not to be afraid, even though when I got, you know, there were things that I would rather not been on, but you know what? It's just don't get afraid. Just some, you know, I can make it down the hill, and I mean make it down by rolling down the hill. Now only one time, I decided, you know what? I'm not going down this hill. I'm taking my skis off and starting walking down the hill. A few feet down that hill, I was so stinking tired, I put my skis on, and so I'm skiing down this hill. You know, so, you know, forget about this. I mean, this is stupid. You know, because I thought it would be better to walk. But, I mean, found out that was harder, walking downhill. You know, so I'm like, you know, snow boots are not easy walking anyway. So, you know what? But the Lord is always leading us. He's always guiding us. But we, you know, like I said, you know, we don't think about it. We don't think about how many people die, you know, in car wrecks every day. I mean, we don't think about it because, see, when people die in a mass shooting or people die when an airplane goes down, a lot of people die at once. But realize airplane travel is a lot safer than traveling in your car because there's more cars out there and, you know, more people, you know, die in car accidents. And so each and every day when you strap in your car, it's a big deal. We don't think about it, it's a big deal. We don't think about it, you know, unless, you know, somebody, one of your family members maybe got hurt or whatever. Maybe you had a wreck. But you know what? We should think about it. We should think this is a big deal, and, you know, and we need to make sure that we're led. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, we should. In fact, you know, one time, actually, when I was, I was driving by myself coming from, I mean, I remember there was one Sunday night. I ended up staying in Oklahoma City. I was just so stinking tired that I didn't want to drive home. I mean, I just felt, I didn't go home because, I mean, you know, now it's, sometimes you think, you know, when you drive back and forth to Oklahoma City, Tulsa, it's almost automatic. Like, I went to school in Oklahoma State, you know, in Stillwater. I mean, there is some, I don't mean, so many times coming home from Stillwater back to Tulsa, I don't even remember the whole trip. I mean, I wasn't sleeping or anything. I just, man, I was like, you know, I'm on like an autopilot. You know, my brain's thinking about, you know, other things or whatever. I'm not saying that I wasn't paying attention or anything. It's just, you know, comes some second nature. And so, but you got to pay attention, especially like my parents always, around this time of year, they're always like, you know what? Well, I don't know if you know this. They hit a deer one time on the way back from to Tulsa. So they're always warning me about deer, you know. And I'm like, oh, deer. So actually, you know, what happened was the people next to them hit the deer and spun them in their lane, and they ended up hitting the deer after the other guy hit the deer first. You know, I don't know why those deers don't cross it. It's, you know, their own crossing. You know. Someone did actually called one time, and they were complaining about the deers were crossing, you know, in a place that wasn't a deer crossing, and they were upset about it. They were, you know, they were complaining to the city hall, and they were saying, you know, we need to get these deer to start crossing at their own crossing, quit crossing there. We almost hit one this morning. Of course, it was a blonde lady. I'm not trying to say anything about that. My wife is a blonde lady too, but you know, but some people don't think about, you know, deers cross wherever they want to cross. You know, the warning is for you that deers might be crossing, but, you know, deers can cross wherever they want, you know. You know, so it's, and, you know, but, you know, sometimes, too, it can get foggy even on the way back, and, you know, deer's crossing or whatever. So you got to pay attention. And if for some reason you're just tired or whatever, and I usually don't have to, I have to take school tomorrow morning, but you know, a lot of times I didn't have to be home. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hit, there's a hotel over here, you know, and go on tomorrow. You know, it didn't matter. You know, everybody lived. You know, I actually got a real nice, good sleep because of a really nice bed. So I like the Sheraton has really nice beds. I don't know if you ever stayed. I like the Sheraton. They have, so I slept really well. I was happy. And so, you know, no kids woke me up. No dogs woke me up in the middle of the night. So it's one good thing about not being in my own house. So, but you know what? God wants to protect us. Amen. You know, and we got to be led each and every day, even when we're driving in our car, even when, you know, just whatever we're doing. You know, I know we think about it when we're doing more things that we consider more dangerous. Like I said, and we're at the racetrack, and, you know, with, you know, my son, you know, we always, we think about that. But also, obviously, less people die, you know, from car accidents on the racetrack than they do on the street. Now, the problem is whenever some racer dies on the car, you know, people hear about it because it's a big deal. You know, but you know, we do pray for protection each and every time. And I've told my son, and I have the same way whenever I race, you know what, if you ever feel, for whatever reason, feel really weird, that you don't feel right, pull off the track. Just pull off the track. You know, who cares if you don't win a race, or I don't care if you're leading, you know. If you feel weird, you feel that you know, danger or whatever, and I mean, you know, who cares? You know, but the same way, too. I mean, if you're driving your car, for some reason that you feel weird, go pull in a parking lot somewhere. You know, stop. You know, don't go on. You know, like I said, you know, like your brother Hagen went back into people's house and just sat down but, you know, stop at Starbucks, get you a coffee, spend money or whatever. I don't know. You know, stop at a convenience store, get a candy bar, or go get some fuel or something. You know, or I don't. You know, I mean, if you just feel weird, just stop, because you never know. You know, like I said, because there's a better chance you're going to get killed in a car wreck than you would in a mass shooting, or even a tornado or whatever. I'm not saying anyone's going to get killed anyway. I'm just saying that, you know, we don't think about those kind of things. You know, but we're afraid to go in the crowd. But you drive a car every day. And we're afraid. I mean, but God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Never be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid of heights. Don't be afraid of closed-in spaces. Like I said, I'm trying to get my wife, you know, she doesn't like heights. My mom doesn't like heights either. She's getting better, you know. But, I said, I'm not afraid of anything. Because the Bible says not to be afraid of anything. But be full with power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, to help us to be understanding that you are leading us and you're guiding us and you're showing our way. And that, Father God, help us to understand that we are living in the last days and there's things that might happen, but you're protecting us and you're leading us and you're guiding us. And help us to be diligent that whenever we do have something on the inside that tells us not to do something or to go a different way, that we won't override that, but we'll move forward and do what you want us to do. And we just thank you for everything you're doing. But Father God, we thank you if anyone here is here tonight and they don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, we won't thank you. They won't leave this place without coming to him. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or maybe I did know Jesus, but I kind of turned my back and I went away and I want to come back home and rededicate my life. If you're here tonight and you want to be saved for the first time or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want you to leave this place without giving you an opportunity to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you for bringing them into the kingdom of God. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up. If anyone's here and they need healing, anyone need healing in their body? If you need healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. So if you need healing in your body, come down here. We've had many awesome healings take place right here in this church.
That's right.
Amen. So if you need healing, come down here. Is it for you, Pam, or for somebody else?
It's for my Courtney.
Okay. All right. Father God, we just thank you for Courtney. We thank you for her life. And we thank you, Father, we come together. And we thank you, Father, that we agree that whatever's causing this nausea, whatever causing this in her body, we thank you, Father, right now for just touching her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Yes. We thank you, Father, for just healing her. We thank you, Father, for Pam. We thank you for her life. And we thank you, Father, as we agree together in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for a complete healing in her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I know we have a few first-time visitors. We have the connection team. They're going to come and they're going to take you back. We have a special gift we want to give you. We thank you for coming tonight. And like I said, if you're from this area, we invite you to come back. We're here every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Amen. Either myself or my dad and my mom will be here.